Isn't that a blessed truth? Amen. Every step we're getting closer home. Amen. Every step. If you're on that narrow way, if you're pondering the path, amen, watching where you're going, you're headed somewhere. Amen. It's not just that you're at a place, you're headed somewhere. Not where you used to be, not on the Broadway, thank God. In a different way, but I'm not home yet, but I'm headed there. Amen. And I appreciate that song, Each Step I Take. Matthew chapter number 7. Look back there if you will again this evening. Matthew chapter number 7 and verses 15 down through verse number 20 again for our reading today. The last couple of times we've looked at this, I've only dealt really with the first four words, beware of false prophets. Tonight, by the help of the Lord, I intend on completing the verse number 15. Amen. And then, Lord willing, we'll come back and look at the other verses at another time. But I've got some thoughts on this verse that I hope will be helpful unto us. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, if you would, lead us in prayer. Oh, yes, you're so good. Help us, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing, and you can be seated. Amen. Appreciate that prayer, by the way, as well. Well, tonight I want to try to just hook back up with what we left off looking at this morning, and our Lord given these, I've called it Christ's counsel concerning prophets. He's dealing specifically with false prophets, and that warning to beware of false prophets. This morning we talked about the caution. He gave us the warning sign. A lot of people do ignore the warnings. And I said that this is not a warning that should be ignored. This is a warning that we should be very careful about and take into serious contemplation. Amen. But I've been preaching on these words of our Lord, this announcement of the warning, beware of false prophets. I mentioned to you that this section just couples with the section that preceded it in the fact of this narrow way that He has told us to walk, and that it is hard to find, even to find, as He said in those last words of verse number 14, that few there be that find it. Not just few on it, few that even know where it's at. Amen. You'd be surprised at people in the religious realm that don't really understand simple faith in Christ.
That's right.
They've got all kinds of things added to it, all kinds of things exempting from it and different things such as that, but don't understand simple faith in Christ. But our Lord has told us about the fact that there's not just the good path, but there's also a deceptive path. There's a path that's leading in the wrong direction. Now, it might seem like it's pretty good. It might even seem like that there maybe it's some upward climb, but in reality it's all a fake and a phony. The devil has fooled people into believing, many of them, that they're on their way to heaven when in truth their way seems right. unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. They're headed towards destruction rather than heaven. Amen. But our Lord diverts from talking about the deceitful path to begin to tell us about some deceitful people that will deceptively lead others to destruction. And so I dealt quite extensively about the warning that the Master declared. Tonight I want to try to look a little bit at the wearing of the mask to deceive. Now our Lord gave us a warning that there are false prophets. But He also in that warning in this very text tells us they don't show you their real face. They have a mask because their job is to deceive. They are disguised. Now our Lord has declared it. Don't ignore it. And He said they are disguised. And so our Lord gives us the warning about the danger of being misled by imposters. Now, again, I say our Lord made it plain they don't appear like imposters. I mean, if they look like fakes and phonies and frauds, we'd say, well, they're fakes and phonies and frauds. But they appear to be doing good things. Amen. I could say a lot of things about that. I won't take the time to run all the rabbits that I'm thinking about that's popping up around me. But I am amazed at something. There's some, I haven't seen TBN in years, but when you can look at some of that and they look like frauds. How in the world so many people fall for something as stupid, really, that's bad, but for something as obviously fake and fraud as some of the things they put out there. Tammy Faye Baker never looked like a Christian to me. Never, one time. She looked like trying to be a Hollywood movie star. Amen. They live the lifestyle of Hollywood movie stars, by the way. And there's other things out there that are like that. It's amazing to me that people are duped. But He says here the things that these fakes, these false prophets, are impersonating the real Christian leader. Because they're trying to lead people along their way. They're impersonating that, and it is done by disguise. Now, our Lord was wise enough, and our Lord was gracious enough to warn us of their disguise. So tonight I want to look at that. I've got 4 points I want to deal with tonight. And the fourth one we'll just touch on and leave that for another message on down the road. I want to look at the disguise. I want to look at the deception. I want to look at the discovery, and I want to look at the detection of these fakes, as our Lord mentions. First of all, think with me for a moment. All of these are found right here in verse number 15 that we'll deal with tonight. The disguise. He says, I've looked at the first 4 words, beware of false prophets. Here's the next phrase. Which come to you in sheep's clothing. Which come to you in sheep's clothing. He said they dress right. They appear, they want to appear to be proper. Amen. And this language is pictorial language that we understand very well. When I say wolves in sheep's clothing, that's a common, even unreligious people understand that phrase. They're a wolf in sheep's clothing. They understand that. This idea is that on the inside, they're devouring. On the inside, they're evil, but they want to dress it up like that everything is all right. So we understand the implication. The outward covering is to disguise the inward character of someone who wishes to do us harm. Amen. It entails a craftiness and a deceit. With an effort and a determination to be able to gain entrance. You see, the idea, if a lamb sees a wolf, there should be automatic fear. There should be automatic on guard, carefulness, caution. But if the wolf can pretend to be a lamb, if the wolf can impersonate being a lamb, then perhaps he can get closer. Perhaps he can get even within the midst of the flock. That's the idea that's going on there. And by the way, that's the most danger. The greatest danger of real Christianity, the greatest danger of real spirituality is not out in the world.
Right.
It's what infiltrates right into our own presence. What comes right in among us many times is the most dangerous thing. And by the way, a lot of people, there was a time, I'll just say this while I'm at it, there was a time that in order to see Hollywood filth, you had to go to the movie theater, and preachers preached that you shouldn't go to the movie theater. Now it comes in on your television. Amen. Now it comes in on your computer or on your phone, your smartphone. Amen. I like Brother Moyes was preaching the other day on Wednesday morning down at Brother Logston's. And Brother Moyes was preaching. He said something about smartphone. He said, you say, preacher, are you preaching about the smartphone? He said, I am if you're being dumb with it. Yeah. Amen. And that's right. You ought to be careful about the things that you bring in. So the devil or the wolf, the enemy, is doing his best to try to infiltrate that he might do more damage, that he can better gain entrance, and then that he can gain acceptance until the trap can be sprung. And his evil intentions can then be carried forth, and he can do what he had planned to do. Well, these false prophets, our Lord says, they're still wolves in character. They've not changed their character. They're like the dogs that our Lord mentioned earlier in the text. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 6. He says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Now I could go into a long line of talk about how dogs evolved from wolves. But we don't believe in that. Amen. But dogs are in the same family and relative of wolves. Amen. By the way, Americans didn't evolve from Scandinavians. Amen. We didn't evolve. We were born in America, and thank God for it. I'm talking about those of us that are. But this idea that dogs are different from wolves, but they have a lot of similar characteristics, and there's a connection there. Our Lord is saying, those dogs I told you about earlier were bad. These guys are worse. That's what He's saying. These guys are worse. A dog may be domesticated. Wolves are not. Amen. And so He refers to their character. They're like the dogs that He mentioned. They have no respect for holy things. But these people are even more vicious and even more vile than these others. These people are purposefully hiding their nature. They're pretending to care about holy things. They're pretending to see value in valuable things like God's real sheep do. Amen. But in reality, they don't see that. Amen. For example, there are men that will, in talking with them, you can talk to them on the job, or you can talk to them when you rub shoulders with them, they will say to you, well, I really love the King James Bible. But they get another crowd and they'll toss the King James Bible quickly because they're not committed to it. They don't see it as value as we see it as value. They're wolves. Amen. There are preachers that will use King James when they know they're in a King James group.
Right.
And they'll preach about it as long as they know they're in that group. But when they're in another group, it's a whole different story. Amen. I'm telling you that disguise that they're wearing. And I could say other things that go along with that. But their idea here is that they're trying to get in unawares. The main difference between wolves and dogs compared with those holy things is this. He says in chapter 7, verse 6, He's telling you to be careful. Give not that which is holy to the dogs. Here's the idea. I use these three fellows as illustrations. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. Right now they're dogs. Alright? And you're coming with that which is holy. And He says you got to be careful that you don't give that which is holy to the dogs. That has the idea you're going to them. This deal with the wolves, you're not going to them. They're coming to you.
Right.
Amen. They're coming to you. Some of those wolves will knock on your door. Some of those wolves will try to appear on your computer screen. Some of those wolves will try to appear in your fellowships. Are you listening?
Right.
They'll do their best to come to you. He said, be careful. These wolves come in sheep's clothing. They're coming to you. In the case of us trying to give the dog the holy thing, you're trying to convert them. In this case, they are trying to convert you. That's the idea.
Right.
Amen. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Well, I worked one time. I'll just throw this out. One time in drywall, there was a boy I went to school with was a plumber and had his own plumbing company. And he had a fellow working for him. I didn't know it at the time. The boy I went to school with was Jehovah's Witness. But the guy working for him was. The one I went to school with was not all that zealous. Was not all that faithful, I guess, of a Jehovah's Witness. But the other was. And Dave was his name. Dave was a good guy. He's a good worker. Hard worker. Every day at lunch, he'd get out his lunch bucket and pull out his Awake magazine. And start reading his magazine. And he'd talk and different things. And I remember one day, he hadn't been working there long on that particular job. Another fellow came in that was a carpenter. And he said to him, he said, preacher, be careful that you don't let Dave convert you. He said it out loud. He said it where Dave could hear him. And I said, Dave's not going to convert me, but I'm praying that I can convert Dave. And there was a struggle in there that we were trying to, each one trying to explain to the other what we felt like was right. Now I said to him, and I don't have time to run this all the way, but I said to Dave, I said, Dave, if I'm wrong and you're right, there's no hell at the end of this thing. But if I'm right and you're wrong, there's hell at the end of where you're going.
Yeah.
Amen. And I know it is right. Amen. There is a literal burning hell. It's not a question about it. There is a literal burning hell. And the only way to escape that is to be saved by the good grace of God. All these actions and all these deeds are not going to work. But the idea is they're coming at us. They're trying to attack us. They're trying to infiltrate us. And they're doing it with a disguise. Now, our Lord's description of these men, He said they come to you in sheep's clothing. Turn with me to Zechariah, just a few books back. Malachi, if you're in Matthew 7, Malachi, just a few pages then. Zechariah, chapter number 13, just be a few pages back in your Bible. And while you're turning to Zechariah, I'll say this, and that's why I'm getting you there. This is picturesque, pictorial language our Lord is using to describe, and we understand that, a wolf in sheep's clothing. But, and I believe it's figurative language, we understand that. But there was a time when the old prophets wore coarse clothing. The old prophets would wear sheepskins. Isaiah talks about it, but also Hebrews talks about they wandering about in sheepskins. Amen. They would wear, Elijah wore a garment they said was camel's hair and a leathern girdle. John the Baptist, they said, wore camel's hair and a leathern girdle. It was rough clothing. They wasn't. And our Lord said, if you're looking for those that are wearing soft clothing, they're in the king's house. But the prophets are out on the street and they're wearing rough clothing. So here's the idea that some of these false prophets would try to dress like the old prophets in order to deceive the people. And I believe our Lord may be alluding to that. In Zechariah chapter number 13, it says that very thing in verse number 4. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he hath prophesied. And neither shall he wear a rough garment to deceive. You see that? So he said some people, false prophets, have been wearing these rough garments, these sheep's clothing, in order to try to deceive people into believing that they are a real prophet. Amen. So our Lord refers to these men, and I believe He's telling us just as the former false prophets wore something to disguise what they really were, these current false prophets are doing the same. Not only is there the disguise, but there's the deceit. He says in the latter part of verse 15, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. These men and women might look like sheep by the casual view of the outward appearance. But on the inside, they're still beasts in nature. They're still ravening wolves in nature. Now, I'm sure you know that a literal wolf is a scary thing. A literal wolf is not a pretty creature, especially when they're on the prowl and on the attack. So, as I said, the sheep would automatically, naturally be fearful when that lamb or that wolf would come and approach the lamb. So the wolf's idea in this is that he might disguise himself sufficiently that he might get close enough to surprise them with his ferocity, ferociousness. Amen. Can I say to you that sometimes these false prophets come in and they go for a while with their stuff to try to get things in, but somewhere along the line they're going to reveal what they really are. Amen. Amen. They're trying to surprise the flock and then do their damage. That same, I believe, is true of false prophets. I say it this way. Heretical teachers are scary people. Amen. People that you know are just out there. I mean, just out there in their doctrine. They're scary people. Therefore, they disguise their heresy, painting it in such a way as to make it acceptable. Amen. A.W. Pink, in his commentary, quotes an unnamed Puritan. He doesn't say who he is. He just said a Puritan said this, and this is a good quote. This is the quote. The face of error is highly painted and powdered so as to render it attractive to the unwary. Amen. The face of error is highly painted and powdered so as to render it attractive to the unwary. Those that are not aware, those that are not alert, see it just as common. Now, there's another commentator of the past, David Thomas. It's not the Dave Thomas that had Wendy's hamburger joint. But this David Thomas was a Bible commentator in the 1800s. Charles Spurgeon highly recommended him. He said this about this text. I want you to listen. He said, "Mark you, it is the evil principle which he disguises, not the good. It is the wolf that puts on sheep's clothing, not the sheep, the wolves. Vice always puts on the robes of virtue. And error speaks the language of truth, but never the reverse." Are you following that? That's a good statement. Back in the 1800s, he said, "Mark you, it is the evil principle that he disguises, not the good. It's the wolf that puts on the sheep's clothing." Now, here's what I thought about. That is a powerful point, and it needs to be examined. We ought to think about that. When you look at our modern religious world, what are they doing? They're dressing the truth in wolves' clothing. That's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to dress the truth in the world's garments in order to make it more acceptable to the world. They say they're trying to win the world to Jesus. Amen. Dressing the truth in worldly garments, trying to win the world to Jesus. Can I tell you that the lyrics of the sheep's song, by dressing them in the garments of wolves, desecrates the sheep's song and does not do good. It tends to evil rather than good. Amen. When you try to take the words of God's music, the words of good music, or good songs, I guess to say, because it's the lyrics, and dress it in a worldly tempo, or in a worldly swing, or in a worldly manner. Amen. I'm glad nobody didn't have their camera out while I was doing that worldly swing thing. Amen. But when you take God's good music, God's good songs of adoration and songs of praise, and you make it only entertainment, or you make it something that is fleshly and sinful. And listen, it bothers me, and I haven't seen it in years, but when I was doing a study on some of that, some of the contemporary Christian music, and if you turn it on the dial, they have that microphone, and they sound seductive singing into the microphone. Men and women are sounding and acting seductive to the microphone and to the music. There's something wrong with that. God's not in the seductive business. It's harlots that are seductive and seducing. Amen. It's the devil that is subtle, amen, and seducing spirits. Amen. But this world now, or the religious world saying, we're taking the sheep song and we're dressing in wolves' garments. I say it's evil. Then they take the sheep's message. I'm talking about the Word of God. They say, well, they can't understand the message of salvation. So they dress it in the world's wolf language. It's not helping it. It tends to evil.
Right.
Amen. How about they take the message of salvation? This is common today. Take the message of salvation or the message of the Bible and they portray it on the world's wolf screen. Their movie screen. And they've got all these actors that are harlots and prostitutes and such as that playing the parts of the heroes of the Bible and the people of the faith, and they're promoting that and pushing that and saying, come see Jesus on the big screen, or come see Paul on the big screen, or come see the gospel on the big screen. I'm telling you, that is trying to take the sheep's garments and put it into the wolves' garments, and it tends to evil is what it tends to. You don't have to deceive people with the gospel. Amen. Amen. The Bible, here's what the Bible says in Isaiah, and I forgot now, there in the 50s, he says, cry loud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. You know what that's saying? The gospel message ought to be a clear message. The gospel message is not a deceptive message. The gospel message is not slipped in. Amen. The gospel message ought to be a clear message. Amen. They ought to know which side we stand on. Amen. They ought to know whether you're a sheep or a wolf. Amen. Amen. Well, our King James Bible speaks a language that sheep understand. I believe that. At least they love it. They may not understand all of it, but they love the King James language. These modern versions dress in worldly attire. I believe that's right. Well, John Brown was another commentator of the 1850s. He was highly esteemed again by Charles Spurgeon and A.W. Pink both. He said this about these people. I want you to listen. He said, they have the appearance and the profession of being humble, harmless, disinterested, and devout. But they are in reality under the influence of some unworthy principle, actuated by a selfish love of profit or of praise. Amen. They're trying to get a following, not to Christ, but to themselves. That's the idea. They have a selfish motive in their quote-unquote ministry. They have a selfish motive. Listen, beware of this crowd always trying to get you to go to their church, trying to get you to join up with them and go along their way. Amen. I don't like it when preachers tell other church members, you ought to come to our church. You ought to be a member of our church. There's something wrong with that.
Amen.
I don't believe God calls sheep stealers.
Amen.
I don't believe He honors sheep stealers. Amen. That's not saying that people don't ever move, and not saying that they shouldn't ever move. But I am saying be aware, be careful of those that try to steal you out of the flock. Amen. They may be producing a following unto themselves. That's what he talks about. Amen. Well, they're selfish, have a selfish love for profit or praise. I go back to something that David Thomas said. Here's another great quote. Listen to this. He said, evil has often robed itself in this attire. Every age has had its hypocrites in the pew and its false prophets in the pulpit. The primary element of a corrupt character is a devouring instinct. Now listen. Christ compares the false prophet to the ravening wolves. This allusion seems to be to the ferocity and subtlety of these creatures in seizing the unsuspicious sheep and feasting a savage appetite upon their blood, regardless of their cries and agonies. As a wolf lurks in the day and prowls forth in the night on its mission of death, so corrupt men misrepresent their principles in order to gratify their their bad instinct. Amen. Like Joab, they profess friendship only in order to stab between the ribs. Like Judas, they kiss only in order to betray. Those are the words of David Thomas. Well, he's right. Our Lord says, these guys, be careful of them. They look good, but they are not good on the inside, and they're cruel. That's the idea that he's got there. Just as a wolf desires to infiltrate the sheepfold in order to be effective in his slaughter, the false prophet must don a disguise in order to get within the assembly of the saints, or at least to gain a hearing by some of the sheep. Error almost never shows its true face. Error almost never shows itself openly. It wears a mask. It wears a mask. Amen. I can remember reading about how when the Lone Ranger first came out. Some of you remember that, some of you don't. The Lone Ranger, one of the things that they were amazed was this: good guys don't wear masks. That was up until that time. Up until that time, that was a statement that was made. Good guys don't wear masks. Crooks wear masks. Amen. Now, I understand that, I think I understand the concept of why he did it, to hide his identity so that he could be safe, his family to be safe, whatever the case was there. But here's the point I'm going in. The gospel does not need to be masked. These guys that are wearing masks have a ulterior motive on the inside. Amen. Amen. Now, the third thing I want to get to is their discovery. Their discovery. Not only their disguise, not only the fact that they are wearing that mask, but they're deceptive. Then their discovery. He says, they, those last four words, they are ravening wolves. Doesn't matter how they look, they still are what they are. Amen. They are what they are. Christ speaks of these false prophets not just as fierce and angry wolves, but as ravening wolves. You see that word? Ravening. Comes the idea of a raven. Ravens. Ravens are carnivores. Ravens eat carnage. Ravens are disgusting creatures. And this idea of these ravening wolves is that they are disgusting in the way that they carry out their self. These false prophets have a wolf nature. Their nature is never changed. So therefore they are prone to behave like wolves when given the chance. They may be cruel and even sadistic. Amen. You ever seen pictures or watched films, for example, and when a wolf attacks, you know what the wolf, I'll tell you what a wolf will do many times. Wolves run in gangs, and what they'll do is they'll nip at the heels of the ones in the back. By the way, that's one reason why it's important to sit up front, not in the back. Amen. But the wolf, when the flock is fleeing, when they're running away, then the wolves will come and nip at the heels. You know what they like to do? They like to get the little ones. Amen. They like to get the little ones. And I'm telling you, they don't care how much they scream. They don't care how much they cry. They don't care how bad they're hurt. They will wound that little one. Because if they wound the little one, sometimes mama will stop. And when mama stops, she's prey. Amen. And if anybody else stops to show any mercy, they're prey. I'm telling you, this crowd of false prophets are cruel and sadistic. They'll do their best to get our little ones. They'll do their best to get our mamas. Are you listening? They'll do their best to get the weak ones, the ones that are not in so far in, but they're out on the fringe maybe a little bit. Maybe they're not running like the rest are running. Maybe they're not heeding like the rest are heeding. And they'll do their best to feed on those in the back. And do their best to attack those. They're cruel and sadistic. They're sly and treacherous. Specifically, they're greedy. That's another thing about a wolf. If a pack of wolves take down a buffalo, for example, that's a pretty big piece of meat. Did you know they don't care how much of it's wasted as long as they get their belly full? They don't care how much is wasted. They don't care how much is just carnage, just destroyed that nothing else can feed on it. They don't care if anybody else, even in their pack, they're not loyal to their own pack. It's every dog for himself in a wolf pack. Amen. They don't care about anything else. I'm telling you, our Lord said that's how these false prophets are. They want you to think they care about you. They don't care a bit about you. They're greedy for their own thing. They're after their own thing. Amen. And they're lying in their deceptive way to disguise what they really are. They are greedy and they use guile. Those are the two words that I put under this. Their discovery. They're greedy and they use guile. You know what that's known as in the business world? That's known as extortion. Greed and guile is extortion. And that's the very word our Lord used to describe these people. This word that He used here is the Greek word translated ravening in our King James Bible. Ravening wolves. It's Strong's number, 727. It means rapacious. Well, that's not a word we use every day. So I looked that up in Webster's 1828 dictionary. Here's how Webster defined rapacious. Given to plunder. Disposed or accustomed to seize by violence. Seizing by force as a rapacious enemy. This Greek word that is translated ravening here in Matthew 7:15 is used a total of 5 times in your King James Bible. It's only translated ravening 1 time. All the other 4 times it's translated extortioners or extortioner. It's not just the act of extortion, it's the person that is the extortionist. Are you following me? These wolves, it's not just that they have a ravening characteristic, it's what they are. They are these creatures that are extortioners and extortionists. Look with me in Luke chapter number 18. I'll show you these 4 other cases that this is used real quickly. In Luke chapter number 18, you've got the story, the parable of the publican and the Pharisee that went up to pray. You remember that? And the Pharisee's bragging about how good he is and how bad everybody else is. All right? In verse number 11 of Luke chapter 18, where he begins to pray, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are. Look at the first word. Extortioners, that's the word our Lord said, was these ravening wolves. An extortioner. He said, I'm not extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. Our word's used twice here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. By the way, let me say this about that Pharisee that was bragging about not being an extortioner. He was an extortioner. He's trying to extortion God. He's trying to get into heaven by his own guile. Amen. And the Lord said the publican got saved that day. That publican went home justified rather than the other. So He said that Pharisee still lost. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 through 11. He says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with covetous, here's our word, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. I'm going to comment on that in just a minute and read the other 2 verses. He said, I told you don't run with this crowd. But He said, you'd have to go completely out of the world not to ever be around them. But He said, don't keep company with them in the church. All right, verse 11. But now I've written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, there's our word again, with such an one, know not to eat. He said, don't you fellowship with them. Don't you run with that crowd. Mark them. Separate from them. Avoid them because they got the wrong character. Why do they have the wrong character? Because they are the wrong character. False prophets. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, the last time this word is used. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor, here's our word, extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Our Lord said these false prophets have the character not of sheep, but of wolves. They're extortioners. They're greedy. And they use guile in what they attempt to do. Amen. I mentioned TBN earlier and the obvious fake in some of it. It shouldn't be a surprise either that many of them have been proven out to be extortioners. They take money from people in deceptive ways. Amen. That's one of the reasons personally I believe that God has blessed this ministry down through the years. Amen. WSOF Radio, Temple Broadcasting, our church cannot support it all. We have to have outside support. We're listener-supported radio. But we've not used, Brother Hall didn't, I have not, as far as I know, it's not been in the past, not used deceptive means. We don't say, listen, if you'll send in $10, we'll give you a hanky that we prayed over and it'll raise all your dead relatives. Well, they about do that on some of this religious broadcasting.
Right.
Amen. They have all kinds of outlandish tales and they extort money and they cry these crocodile tears. They tell stories that's not even true. Oh, we need money to feed the poor kids at home when they've got faucets on their sink that are gold faucets. Why don't they sell some of that gold and feed some of them kids if they're concerned about those kids?
Right.
Amen. How about taking the air conditioner out of their dog houses and feeding some of those children if they're concerned about hungry children? Amen.
Right.
They're extortioners. They're heaping on themselves. Why? They're greedy. And they're using guile. These false prophets are out to satisfy their greed in any cruel way they can. They couldn't care less who gets hurt in the process. They'll use deceit, dishonesty, intimidation, fear, and a host of other techniques in order to obtain what they want. Can I say to you that a wolf is not polite? Amen. A wolf is not polite. A wolf has no principle. A wolf couldn't care less what you think of them once they're attacking the prey. Now, they're concerned about what you think about them until the trap is sprung. But once the trap is sprung, they couldn't care less how you feel or how you're hurt. They're not polite or principled. They take what they want by cruel force, regardless of the waste and regardless of the destruction that they cause to others. Turn back with me one more time to Ezekiel chapter 22. Again, we looked at this verse the last couple of messages. I'm this text, but not this verse. Ezekiel chapter number 22. I mentioned this morning that Ezekiel deals with the sins of the priests and the princes and the prophets and the people in these verses. I want you to see what he said about the princes in verse number 27 of chapter 22. Let me get there. Ezekiel 22, verse number 27. He said, her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls and to get dishonest gain. Now, most of the time, most princes have means already. They're not living in humble abodes. They're living in palaces.
Right.
They're not in need, but he said they're after dishonest gain. They want more. It's the greed that is involved. Turn, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter number 2. You remember Eli's boys talked about their Hophni and Phinehas? 1 Samuel chapter number 2 tells us a little something about them. 1 Samuel chapter number 2 and... That's why it didn't look right. Verse number 12. I was in 2 Samuel. Let me get to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 12. Yeah. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servants came, excuse me, while the flesh was in seething, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So did in Shiloh unto all the So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. So it was the common custom. They brought their sacrifice. Rather than consume it all on the altar, they would seat it in a pan or a pot or a cauldron. And the priest would come with that flesh hook of three parts and dip in and get out some for himself. That's how the priests were fed. That's how they were taken care of. But these boys wasn't satisfied with what God said they could have. Look on down here in verse number 15. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the men that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. In other words, they don't want what God said they could have. They want something better. They want something more. They want something different. They're wanting the fat and the raw flesh. Verse number 16. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. You see those boys? They're ravening wolves. Those boys were false prophets. They were greedy of gain. They're not satisfied with what God said they could have. Here's a good illustration. They're not satisfied with the wife God gave them. They may want your wife. Amen. They're not satisfied with the funds that they've already... They may be living in a pretty nice palace, but they want more, and they're greedy to have more. Amen. He's talking about these false prophets, and he's talking about their character. You can see it. That's how they are discovered. Turn also, Matthew, back in the book of Matthew, verse chapter number 23. There's two statements in chapter 23. I'm almost done. I'm winding her down. I'm dealing with their discovery, how you discover these false prophets. Matthew 23 and verse number 14. This was in my daily reading this morning, matter of fact. Verse number 14. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore, ye shall receive the greater damnation. See that phrase? Ye devour widows' houses. Matthew 23, verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. That's not the same Greek word as extortioners, because that's talking about the person that does it, but this is a root word. This is the act. He said, not only are you extortioners, you're full of it. You're full of extortion and you're full of excess. You're always wanting more. You're greedy for gain. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you saying there? Our Lord gives us a pretty good description of what these false prophets really are many times. I'm afraid that there are some people that still prove out to be false prophets in pulpits across America today. They hook and crook gullible people. That's right. Many of them have a means of a sad tale. Amen. They'll tell you how hard they're having it. and how bad things are. And they'll go down the road and play the same trick on somebody else in order to get what you've got. This is one way to detect when a man is false. Let me throw that. If he's greedy of financial gain, you better suspect him. Amen. I'm not saying mark him already as crook, because it might be that he has a real need, but if he's greedy of financial gain, you ought to suspect him. Amen. I've said it this way, and I believe it is right. A preacher that won't preach for nothing is worth nothing. Amen. But a preacher that would preach for nothing is worth more than you could ever give him. Amen. I'm not against giving the preacher and helping the preacher. And by the way, thank God for y'all. I didn't realize till just this past week, it's been a year. So y'all bought us that car a year ago. Praise God. Amen. Still riding good because it's a Ford. Praise God. But that's just my opinion. All right, that's not Bible. That's my opinion. But seriously, I appreciate you being good to us. But there are people that will come through and they'll take you for whatever they can get from you. Amen. Be suspect of that crowd.
Right.
Be careful of that crowd. Amen. That always after financial gain. Our Lord's talking about this. Amen. They're greedy for financial gain. If he uses guile to obtain that gain, if he's not honest, if he uses dishonesty, he should be suspect. Suspect of being a false prophet. Suspect of being a wolf despite his sheep's clothing. Amen. He may very well be inwardly a ravening wolf. When a minister, a preacher, teacher, whatever, shows great interest in luxury, in fine clothing, in expensive houses, in fine cars, in expensive jewelry, on and on and on you go. When they just want more and more of the world's goods, they may have the world on the inside. They may have a heart that's after the world, is what I'm saying. Be careful. Be careful. Amen. Amen. Well, John Brown said this in his commentary. I thought it was very pertinent and a good quote. He said, the rule furnished by our Lord is substantially this. And listen, this is good. Receive no one as a religious teacher whose doctrine does not harmonize with the declarations of the Word of God, however apparently devout and holy he may be. And receive no one as a religious teacher, however rigidly orthodox he may profess to be, who in his temper and behavior is worldly or wicked. I say, amen. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. The last point is their detection. Our Lord's going to tell us in these next few verses how to know them. He's already told us a little bit. You see, they're inside because it comes out. Although they're a wolf, and although they try to dress it up in sheep's clothing, that wolfishness will come out. I couldn't help but think as I was studying this and thinking on this of the story about, is it Goldilocks that has, and the wolf gobbles up Grandma? Red Riding Hood. Thank you. Amen. I get my fairy tales mixed up because I ain't used to telling fairy tales and ghost stories in the pulpit. But Red Riding Hood and the wolf gobbles up Grandma. He's after Red Riding Hood. And he jumps in Grandma's bed and he puts on Grandma's cap. And Riding Hood comes to the door and he says, come in. And she says, that don't sound like Grandma's voice. And then he disguises it. Come in. And she says, well, Grandma, what big ears you have. And he says, the better to hear you with, my darling. Grandma, what big teeth you have. The better to gobble you up, my dear, he says. And that wolfishness comes out. Well, here's the point I'm saying. That false prophet that our Lord's talking about here, that's out to devour you, may come in with Grandma's cap on. He may come in trying to look like the old prophets, trying to look like the old time way. But somewhere along the line, his ears will perk up. Somewhere along the line, his teeth will show. Somewhere along the line, you'll be able to see and detect something's not right here. Something's wrong on the inside. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed.
I want to look back at this in a little bit, but I want to mention two things right quick. I want us to take a moment, each one of us, take a moment and ask God. Every one of us, I want us to do this. Take a moment and ask God that He might protect us from two dangers. One, the danger of being misled about spiritual matters. And then number two, the danger of being overly suspicious. Because when you hear sermons like this, if you're not careful, you see a devil behind every rock. Amen. If you're not careful, you suspect everything. And somebody might really be trying to help you. You might really need that help. And you might need to trust them. So we need to ask God, Lord, help me not to be misled, but help me not to be overly suspicious. Just help me to be aware, like our Lord said. Father, I pray that prayer for myself. Lord, I don't want to just be suspicious of others and jump to conclusions, but at the same time, I don't want to be gullible. And I don't want to be misled. And I don't want to allow somebody in that would mislead my family or the families of this church or our listeners. Father, I pray help us to be on guard. Help us to be alert. Help us to gauge it, as I said this morning, to gauge it all by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. And Lord, help us to be aware of those that are just greedy, those that are just using guile. In reality, although they have a sheep's clothing on, they're a wolf on the inside. Lord, help us to be aware of it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing. If you need to come pray, whatever the Lord says do, you do that and be right.
160.
Do you need to come while we sing? You obey the Lord.